The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 225. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Hi.
Brett Murdoch.
Ahoy.
And Adam Vale.
Mahayam.
Brian's missing again. We don't know what's going on with him. Is he cosplaying as the queen again?
He's gonna be here an hour later.
Oh yeah, that's right. Daylight saving time. It fucks him up for like a good month.
We need to get like a sound thing. Whenever Brian comes in, we just play that. That's it.
Yeah, right. That'd be hilarious, man. All right. I don't have anything to vamp with, so we're just gonna get in there, man. Questions, man.
Brian is doing.
Yeah, actually, what happened, Brett?
Did we say what Brian is doing?
No, we didn't. I mean, so go ahead. You can make up something.
No, he's maintaining the channel, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, somebody's got to do it, right?
I thought he was maintaining a surveillance system in an Egyptian themed motel.
That's entirely possible. Actually, highly probable.
Yeah. Right. All right, man. Let's get into it. Dad versus the. His first question
versus the what?
That's just it. Dad versus the.
It could be everything.
You know, he's also him deal. This dude has too many names, man.
Heimander.
Yeah. Manny and I have met him a couple of times at New York Comic Con. All right. He goes, yo, throw down crew. Yo, Mr. Him.
Yo, what's up?
He goes, Epic is essentially removing crossplay between Switch and Xbox / PS4 due to performance issues between the Switch and to the other two systems. I busted out laughing when I read this. Crossplay with the Switch makes no sense. Now, Xbox and PS4, that makes sense. What are your thoughts about all that?
We did talk about this on the show.
I guess
we did.
Yeah, we did.
It was a news topic on Thursday.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I guess we just talk a little bit more about it. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's like, hey, look, let you guys on Switch play in the kiddie pool with all the other guys on the thing. The reason why they did this is because they can't guarantee parity between the players. Like, they found that, you know,
I think he's more referring to in general, like, what do you think about cross play with Switch and, you know, these systems, not just with Fortnite, anything.
I think it's on paper, it's a fun and interesting idea, but at the same time, you also have to guarantee the comfort of the actual players that are playing on there. And if you're getting owned by a friggin' PC player, or you're getting owned by a PlayStation or Xbox player, you're gonna probably drop the fuck off. And maybe that's what's been happening. People have been going on this thing, you know, playing, and then they're just getting their ass whipped by people who have better frame rates and use mouses, right?
Yeah. I think it's kind of silly, to be honest. Like, Switch shouldn't be cross-playing with those systems anyway, you know?
No, I mean, unless somehow they can you know cut as much away from the game as possible to offer an equivalent frame rate to what is offered on the, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, and on the PC, then yes, I can definitely say that. But no, they probably can't. So it's like, okay, so, you know, stick with the other mobile consoles, and then you know mobile consoles, like, not even, you know, I don't want to call it a console, but, you know, the cell phones or whatever else it's on. And I think to be honest, if you think about it, the Switch players will have it over the people on the phones, because they at least have a controller.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right about that. Generally, we did talk about this on Thursday. So refer to it wasn't the main topic. It was one of those topics in there.
It was one of our topics.
Yeah, we've pretty much covered that. All right. Next up, Mr. Black Metal Gamer. So he goes, do you think the RE engine can handle open world games this generation, or is next gen going to show its true max potential?
You know, I don't know, because the RE engine is proving to be quite powerful, but you know, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the games that they're producing for it are a lot of, you know, what we call like movie set games, where essentially it's like you only see one side of the building, you only see one side of this, so it's like there's only one trail that you need to go through. But I mean, I'd like to see them try.
I think it could handle it right now. You know, you're not going to see any open world games from them this generation because the generation is effectively over. But I, you know, again, just theoretically speaking, I think it could handle an open world game. You know, but next gen is going
to
be.
It was designed to look really nice in these closed environments or just certain environments. If you ever watch people on YouTube where they break the game, where you can walk through the walls and whatever and look around, the different set pieces like load in.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all set pieces. Like the sewers are right next to like the RPD, and like if you walk through the wall and go like north, you'll find the sewers, and you go south, you find the lab, and they're all next to each other, like preloaded in, and then like everything will appear. But to render like a whole like area, a whole big area, I don't know if RE Engine is capable of it. At least not on current systems. Because they just are compartmentalized in different spaces. So to do that might require them to revamp the engine and then and optimize it for more powerful hardware.
I feel like RE Engine can probably do something like a Monster Hunter. I don't think it can do something like a Grand Theft Auto or GTA.
That's what I'm thinking. Like I'm thinking GTA, Far Cry, that stuff. I don't think it's there.
Oh, you don't think it's there for this generation? You think maybe next generation, right? Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys?
Yeah, I guess it just depends on what type of open world you're talking about. I don't know exactly the limitations of the RE engine, but hey, I trust the Capcom developers to develop for it because everything has been a hit.
Yeah.
But as far as the technical specifications of the RE engine and what it's capable of, I can't really speak to that because I don't really know.
But also in general, like at the same time, it's like how many games has Capcom internally developed that is actually an open world game?
I don't mean
like the last like three Dead Rising games, because those games were all developed by this other by Capcom, you know, Montreal or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
it's a different
and collection. It was a different engine. It wasn't even MT Framework at that point.
Well, I mean. Yeah, if you want to do a, what is it? Go ahead. What's that game called again?
Dead Rising?
Dead Rising game. Yeah, if you wanted to do a Dead Rising game on the RE engine, you could probably do it. Because
that's not open world, you know.
It's fairly enclosed, yeah.
It did like Chris, old Monster Hunter used to do. The mall.
Is the actual question here, could the RE7 engine handle open world? I'm sorry, I spaced out for a minute at the beginning.
Yeah, the question is, can it handle an open world game this generation, or do we have to wait until next generation to see that?
Okay, my only problem with that is people assume that an engine, the way that it's utilized in one game, means that it is just a set of tools. You know, Unreal, for instance, you could make a corridor shooter, so I don't know that that's necessarily due to the limitations of the engine, is it?
Well, I mean, they would have to develop, they would, you know, usually an engine has to be developed a specific way to be able to handle, you know, open world things. Like, let's say, you know, like, let's use Kojima Productions, for example. Like, they could have theoretically used the MGS4 engine to develop MGS5, but actually they couldn't, because that engine probably, it could not handle the load of an open world sort of game.
That's why they made the Fox engine.
So that's why they created the Fox engine.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would definitely... okay, so if the question is, could it just handle as it is? Like, no, hell no, fuck no. You would need to overhaul it. Even a lot of open-world games use a lot of instanced zones. So it appears open-world, but it's kind of not. And so I imagine you have to develop for that, too. You couldn't just throw a whole world open.
If you think about it, the RE Engine, they've obviously had to have it for a couple of years before Resident Evil 7 came out last year. But Monster Hunter World is running on MT Framework. So they got that engine to do a sort of open world thing. But they didn't use RE Engine, which they had, obviously, Atari developed under it, they didn't use that. They used MT Framework to make Monster Hunter World. So that kind of signals to me too that RE Engine isn't there yet to do that same workload.
I think also the problem, the thing about it is that I think in general it's much easier to develop a game that is more enclosed than an open world sort of game, and I think that's why Monster Hunter World is on the MT Framework, is because they're already like they know that thing in and out, so they know how it's going to work on there. So I think that's why they didn't want to start, you know, jumping into a new engine, not know how it works, and then just be like, oh fuck, you know. So
it also needed netcode, like, yeah, you know, so that probably was another consideration.
Yeah, they would have to probably redevelop some, you know, the netcode for the new engine. So I'm guessing that's just like, all right, let's give the, you know, let's, you know, MT Framework stuff, let's just throw it at these sorts of story driven enclosed sort of games, and then we already know how to work with this on Monster Hunter World, so just do what you need to do on Monster Hunter World.
Well, I would throw it back at Black Metal Gamer. Are you thinking of a first an open world game like GTA, like online, like where it is you can interact with people? Or are you thinking something like Far Cry where you're by yourself, single player?
That's
another consideration.
Yeah. All right. Okay, before that, hold on. Okay, because I'm always trying to, am I muted right now? Bike Shop Guru. He's asking us what we think about what's going on with Atlas. We'll happily answer the question. You just need to tell us what's going on with Atlas. Does anybody anything?
I haven't heard anything about Atlas as late. Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess, you know, can you form your question in the form of a question? You know, and we'll happily answer it. I'm curious to know what's going on with Atlas too.
Yeah, right. I haven't heard anything. I mean, as far as I know, is that they're just. They're still releasing things as usual, but maybe you know something that we don't, right?
Yeah. So please feel free to ask us. All right. Next up, Black Metal Gamer still on his. Okay. If in the future, he actually asked this about all entertainment, but I'm going to keep it specifically to video games here because it's a video game podcast. Okay. Mm-hmm. If in the future all games are streamed, do you feel that the quality will decline? And do you also think piracy would rise?
All games are streamed.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bike Shop Guru, for following. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Very nice. Just like it has with music and with movies. You see all the stuff that's streaming and all that stuff is being copied and shared everywhere because it's now available on all these digital platforms. You know, there's no way to prevent somebody just having a record screen application running on their PC. So once they trigger it, poof, now they got it.
And also, I heard that shit in the background, son. I heard that.
I hear that shit glitching all over here, man.
I can see that happening in gaming.
Yeah, but it's the same. And Adam, what about the first part? Do you think the quality would decline? That's the part I'm interested in the question. I don't know what he means by that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be one of those that people will accept it if it's still playable. I mean, look at the Switch. You know, we know the quality isn't great, but it's great for mobility to play, you know, 2K and all these other great games on the go. We're willing to accept the fact that it's not up to par with the big boys. And we're cool with it.
You think?
And they're selling it at retail price.
Right, you might be right about that. Because I was going to say, like, you know, for example, CD quality is way better than MP3 quality. But people go for MP3 because they're simple and easy. Same thing with movies. Like a movie on Netflix is not going to look as good as your 4K Blu-ray.
I had a big argument with a coworker about that because I was telling him, it's like, what you see on the web version is different than a Blu-ray rip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Completely different. He's like, no, it's not. It's like, there's a reason that one is 50 gigs and the other one is 2 gigs. Exactly. You know, he's like, that doesn't mean anything. That means a lot.
Yeah, it definitely means a lot because, like, you know, the thing is that, like, it's a lot of times, you know, most televisions have things that kind of fix compressioning, you know, distortions and stuff like that. But it's still there. You may think you're watching something in 4K, but you're really not when you're watching it streaming.
Yeah.
Hell, some people don't even realize that just because they have the TV and the bandwidth settings that they're not getting the best quality. You actually have to go into Netflix and a lot of these applications and change it.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time it's set to auto or it's set to the lowest one just because, you know, that's what they set it to. Mm-hmm. You have to set if you want a 1080p or 4K.
Yeah, remember you were telling me that about Spotify. It's like, yo, you want the shit to sound better.
You gotta go but by default, you saw it was at a lower level. Everything is.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. So, Chris, what are your thoughts, man?
I agree with all that stuff. Like, first of all, the only thing I don't think is, like, with stream games, it would make piracy incredibly difficult because they're running all this licensing shit and it's constantly you're calling back to the server, right? So everything is getting authenticated. So to get that game and then run it through like a proxy, whatever, it's going to be a pain in the ass. They'll constantly patch it. So it makes that like difficult almost to the point of not worth it.
I thought what he meant was not just the streaming, but the option of stream downloads. You know how it's like
no, he game said streaming period. Where,
downloads. So if it's as a service,
you can download let's say the executable, all the files, and then you just send a loop bin file in there or an INI, so that way it just keeps thinking that it's paying, and there you go.
Own. But they'll constantly patch that. As soon as they find out that's happening, they patch it. Then you have to set that shit up again. Like it just makes it difficult. Not impossible, but difficult. Do I think it'll increase the piracy? I don't know. I think the quality would decline, but I don't know about the piracy part. I don't think so. They would just make it so difficult for you to do that.
Hey, the people still do it. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's difficult. But I think it's going to be like pervasive, you know? But yeah, I'm going to agree with Chris on this one. I think the quality will go down, but the piracy thing probably won't be an issue. Brett, what are your thoughts?
I think historically, the more streaming services available and the easier it is to get content, the lower the piracy rate, weirdly.
Yeah.
Proven. So it's about getting a convenient avenue to market. And if we're talking a big streaming services that people are opting into, that's going to be a little bit easier. If you're talking everybody trying to have their own streaming service, that's going to be more difficult. And that's a discussion in and of itself. So I don't think we can just limit it to, does streaming help or degrade quality and piracy? It's going to decrease piracy. So unless we want to have that whole other discussion, which we don't, I'm just going to leave it at, I'm pretty sure it decreases piracy. As for the quality thing, I'm a big fan of looking at motives. So honestly, I don't see the quality dropping so much because even as that means it's going to be more games as a service, which means that they're going to try and keep luring you in, keep giving you content. There was a very dark time, and some of us are old enough to remember this, where they didn't give a shit. After they got your money, they didn't give a shit anymore. You could review bomb their game. Fuck it. What are you going to do? They already got your money. There wasn't necessarily DLC or something. That was kind of one of the things that sold us on the idea of DLC from the beginning, is it's going to allow creators to put more content forward. So they're going to put higher quality content instead of just saying, fuck it, deal with a broken game, and then moving on. So in terms of what motivates these people, I see games as a service motivating them to make longer lasting, higher quality products. Do I know that that's going to be the case? No. But do I have any evidence to the contrary that's going to lead me to believe that there's going to be a quality drop? Not really, especially in this day and age where you're not really working off pre-orders. You're not really working off that first initial boom that people are trying to monetize these things long term. And you can't do that with the whole bait and switch they used to do. So no, I don't really see it making a drop off in quality of games either. But that really also depends on the metrics that you're using. You know, I personally love cosmetics in games. I love unlocking costumes. That's getting more and more behind a paywall. So in a personal sense, yeah, I feel like the quality is dropping a little bit in that sense, but that's just because I care about cosmetics, the one thing we tend to get. But also it really depends on the metrics that you're choosing. It's a complicated question. It's a good question, but there are like five questions in there that need dissected. So that's my opinion.
All right, Carlos, what do you say?
I agree with Chris, and I don't really have that much to add to that.
Yeah. All right. I'll throw this question in. This is a very interesting one from Mike Shop Guru. Apparently, he's not talking about Atlas, the company. He's talking about a game named Atlas, I guess.
Oh, the Capcom game, right? Is that it?
Anyway, let me read what he says. He goes, there's a major update with a wipe end of March. Open World 225 synced official servers, 40,000 players supposedly possible on official can play together. I don't know about engines or anything about the tech. Something like 30 hours a cycle. The map is what I understand.
Whoa, is this the Ark guys?
Oh yeah, this is the Ark game.
Oh yeah, he said it's like Ark but 225 times bigger. Is this a trend that will grow or die? Crossing the map depends on the wind. Okay. I don't know anything about this game, so if you guys know anything, you go ahead.
This is the one that they found that Ark was literally underneath it. That it's just that the Atlas is just a skin on top of Ark.
Don't Brett would have words.
Yeah, Brett, I don't know if you've been keeping up with this, but yeah, what do you make of his actual question about the update that they're wiping shit apparently? 40,000 players. I'll read what he said again.
They're doing a content update which is going to include a progress wipe, and it's going to update it to servers that include up to 40,000 people. They're kind of trying to paint this image of an EVE Online thing. Here's where I kind of just tune out. It becomes gray noise. These people made Ark, which I believe is still
no said.
I believe it's still in beta. It was a good game, but it definitely struggled with limitations.
That sounds like you're being nice.
I'm trying to generalize here because I played a lot of early access games, and you kind of start to realize where developers are running into their issues. It's a very interesting place to be. You can really tell, like, oh, their netcode isn't sound enough to support multiple people trying to plug in and have one simultaneous object in free-floating space. It's going to, like, rubber band to somebody's ping and instantly teleport 5 feet to the left and fucking explode. I'm talking about space engineers. So one of the things I can tell having played Ark is they definitely have a problem with server load and multiple people getting on and rendering the same thing in the same place at the same time. Like just doing all the stuff they're trying to do. And I'll give you that it's an inherently complicated type of game and a massive undertaking. But that's like saying, okay, so I'm going to build an awesome sandcastle using nothing but toothpicks. And you're like, all right, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but sure, sculpt an awesome sandcastle with toothpicks. And they make one that's pretty good considering it's used toothpicks. And you're like, that's actually kind of impressive. And now I'm like, and now I'm going to make one that's 30 city blocks wide. And you're like, all right, that's just ridiculousness. I shoot fairy dust out of my ass, I guess. That's not going to happen. Like this is the things that they are claiming are they're so ridiculous that they make every other game seem plain. They make Star Citizen look feasible. It's a pipe dream. It is so obviously a pipe dream. And having known these developers, they can't do it. I'm not questioning here. I'm just straight up stating a fact. They can't do this. The thing that these people have promised you, they do not have the ability to accomplish. So I have trouble arguing the minutia because at the end of the day, none of it matters. They can promise me that they will pull the moon down to increase bandwidth in their servers. And none of it makes sense. None of anything they ever say makes sense. It's just they're telling you what they want to hear. And keep in mind, again, these are the makers of Ark. They haven't released their initial game yet, the thing that made them famous. They've released several expansions to it, but they haven't released the game yet. So that really should give you an idea of the kind of company and people that you're talking about. So I just wouldn't put much stock in it.
But I think he also wants to know, like, because of the fact that they're deleting people from the server.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's part of the thing.
Okay, you know,
like,
wow.
Part of the update. Oh, yeah, no, they just don't give a shit. In the name of progress, like, they don't give a shit. They really don't. They're a highly exploitative company. They're like the people who made H1Z1. It's kind of a money grab thing. If it's going to mean that they can put out a news post that says that they made this big update, of course they're going to cut your progress. Now, sometimes that's expected, and they really should allow, you know, more advanced notice than this. But, I mean, that's going to be expected. Gracious companies will try to do it very little. Considerate companies will promise to only do it a certain amount at certain times and stick to that. And then you have companies like these guys. They're not beholden to anybody. They're allowed to do it. It's kind of a dick move, but it's also in step with a lot of the stuff that they do.
He says that they're backed by a lot of Chinese money, so there's that.
Well, there's also that, too. I mean, a lot of places are backed by Chinese money.
Is it a Tencent?
Yep. And, yeah, it's crazy. Thanks for the question. That was that's not usually something. I guess it is up our alley, but it's also not because it's specifically a bread question. The rest of us are like, I didn't know what this fucking game was.
Well, no, we knew what it was, but we totally forgot about it. The damn thing.
Yeah.
Plus, like, we got a great quote of it.
Yeah, we did. What was the quote?
It makes Star Citizen seem feasible.
Yeah, when Maniac explained, I'm like, oh yeah, they did have something. And Brett was beefing about it. Like, you know how it is with me, man. If I don't care about it, it just goes in one ear out the other, you know?
Yo, man, that's dump data.
And it went in one ear and out the other. I was just like, ah, it's like Peter Molyneux whispering soft nothings into your ear. It's just nonsense and stupid. You just kind of ignore it.
Yeah. No, but that happens a lot. We go to E3 and shit. Manny's like, yo, remember when they talk about this game at E3? I'm like, no. Like, I'm fucking no. Like, they showed at the presentation. Like, they did.
And then Manny shows you a picture of you, one of the developers.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't remember that shit.
Yo, man, you literally took a picture with the developer. Really?
Hey, I like to think that there's that, and then Manny's like, hey, you remember that hot dog stand we stopped at last time? And be like, oh, yeah, dude, I totally remember that.
Yeah, you already know. I remember fucking a couple years ago, I ran into Koji Igarashi, right? He's going to be making Bloodstain. So I was like, oh, shit, Koji Igarashi got a picture. I was all happy and shit. Then I look at my pictures from the year before that E3. I took a picture of them, too. I completely fucking forgot. Like, I was so happy. Like, I got to meet Koji Igarashi. This is crazy. And I completely forgot I had already met him the year before. Oh, man. All right. That also reminds me of The Simpsons. It's like, hey, my brain only has a limited amount of things it could put in there. Remember that time I went to wine tasting class and I forgot how to drive? It's like, you didn't forget how to drive home, or you were drunk. Like, that's how I feel sometimes. All right. Okay. Oh, this is probably my favorite question of the night. This is crazy because I never thought about this. From G Megaforce 123. He actually asked us the question straight up, but I'm going to save that for the end because this is a good one. Okay. One thing I haven't been able to understand about gaming all these years is the inclusion of buttons named X, Y, and Z. I can understand buttons being named A, B, and C because they're the first letters of the alphabet, and L and R representing left and right triggers. But why didn't Nintendo, Microsoft, and others just continue down the alphabet and name buttons D, E, and F? Is it just because the letters B through G rhyme? So the question is, why do controllers have X, Y, and Z buttons? Great fucking question.
I can answer
the axis.
Yep.
What happened? The axis.
X and Y axis.
The X and Y axis.
X and Y axis. That's at least that's what I pictured. I was like, oh, this is just mathematics. This is how we do the scaling.
No, I think that's exactly why it is, but I could be wrong.
But somebody's got it reversed.
Oh, Sony? Oh, because they're Japanese, no, man. They got everything reversed. They drive on the wrong side of the road.
It's not them that has it reversed.
Nintendo.
It's Nintendo that has it reversed. It's Y and X. So yeah. A and B, and then it's Y and X.
Yeah, but the DualShock has the X on the. Like,
no, we're, on, but those aren't even those aren't even letters. Those are just symbols.
They're symbols. Yeah. That the X, the official name of the X cross. Button on there is not an X. It's actually called cross.
It's cross.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, you're right, man.
There are also several other reasons. Like it's a bunch of things that led into this. One is X and Y axis. Another one is just because Nintendo did it. Because at the time, Sega had A, B, and C. We had a C button. Yeah, it was weird. Also,
Nintendo had a C button in the GameCube controller too.
But this is before we're talking about before that. See, okay. By the way,
here's an interesting thing. Do you remember all the Turbo controllers? All of the Turbo controllers had X and Y buttons as the extra buttons. And the only reason for that is because it was the 90s and everything had an X next to it.
Interesting. See, this is my crazy theory because I have no fucking idea what the answer is. I figured, okay, Sega came out with a controller that's A, B, and C. And remember, they came out with the six-button controllers. Like, okay, what are we going to name these buttons? Okay, since we used the first letters of the alphabet for these buttons, let's use the last three for the other buttons. That's my theory that I've had for like 20 years.
That's not a bad theory.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they did. But
oh, really? Look, that's just stupid.
No,
thinking,
that's
you
the,
know?
The first three and the last three. Also, they kind of rhyme. They're easy to distinguish. It was just a user input choice, and there was at the time a lot of different button layouts and a lot of different button namings, and for some reason Nintendo just went with A, B, X, and Y.
I'm about to ask a really stupid question. Do the Japanese controllers have those letters?
Yes.
Yes. Remember, the Japanese invented those controllers.
Yeah, but why the hell are you using Arabic fucking letters?
Because they're more universal. Nobody knows fucking
kanji. Are they Arabic? I don't even know.
Yeah, they're not going to throw a kanji on there. It's a lot easier to just throw letter A symbols on there.
You know, let's just be real here. English letters are more universally like recognized than Japanese kanji, you know? There's only 26 of them. There's not 50,000 of them.
I think that also the thing is that you also need an easily recognizable symbol. I mean, in Japan, they still do use, you know, A, B, C, and D, you know, to name things, you know, like for, you know, quick references. Same thing with, our numbers as well.
Yeah, even the Japanese looking at our shit like, hey, that shit's more simple, man.
Yeah, it's a lot more simplified. There's a little bit more kanji that's needed for certain things. So they're just like, okay, they see it more. I think A, B, and C, you know, the alphabet is more used as a, you know, for, you know, symbols, and then probably easy, quick ways to write things.
Yeah.
Now they need to fix.
You go ahead.
Now they need to fix that. They keep driving on the wrong side of the road, man. It just makes more sense.
Brad, are you? What the fuck are you doing, man? You bag of chips or something?
Sorry.
All right. My question to the old guys, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the Sega controller the first 6-button controller out there? I could be wrong. I remember.
No.
Which one was the first one?
The Nintendo Super Nintendo controller. Oh, wait. No, the Super Nintendo controller.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My bad. 6 face button controller. My bad. Because you're right, SNES does have 6 buttons, but 6 face buttons.
Yeah, 6 face buttons would be the original, the Genesis.
Okay, so I was right about that. Okay, that's what I wanted to
say. But yeah, but the first button controller to have 6 buttons
that was the Super Nintendo. Yeah, yeah, because the 6 button Sega Genesis one came later, you know.
Yes.
And then the Saturn added the L and R on top of that, you know.
No, L and R was on the Super.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. Sega added L&R on top of its controller. Understand? 8 buttons. Yes.
Yeah,
8 buttons. So that was the first 8-button controller as well.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because Super Nintendo had 4 face buttons, 2 top ones, minus select and start, obviously, you know? Yeah. Okay, so that's what I wanted to know. But yeah, that, you know, I want to ask somebody this, like, you know, like a developer, like, yo, what's the history behind this shit, man?
You know? Well, I mean, you know why the 6-button controller came around.
No, I know why.
Because the Sega Genesis couldn't handle any of the fighting games like Street Fighter.
Exactly, yeah. No, I just want to know. Sorry. Yeah, because remember, the first 6-button Sega Genesis controller was specifically for Street Fighter Championship Edition, Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition. Yep.
And the original, like, you remember, the Nintendo was able to handle that game because it had 6 buttons.
Yeah, the Nintendo one never had an issue. That's right.
Nope.
I like that was a good question. All right. Next up, what are some game related names you always pronounce wrong? I got one already. Wise. I used to call that shit Wise for fucking years. Then when I met Riku, it turned out it's East. Like, okay, East. Okay, because I thought shit was Wise the whole time.
I never called it East. I called it Xi or something like that.
Yeah,
because it had like an X and a Y, or
yeah, because it's Y S. So I'm like Wise, you know.
But you know mine.
What's yours? Oh yeah, Dragon's Age. Yeah, yeah.
I just said it wrong for so long. I just decided to lean into it and keep calling it that.
So this is any game.
Yep.
Okay.
I called it Dragon's Age for like the first 8 months, and then I was like, "Fuck it, it's Dragon's Age now. It makes more sense."
I know there's some people that they called it Virtual Fighter for years. You know,
like, call it Virtual Fighter.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's Virtua Fighter.
Doesn't make any sense. Virtual.
And then another one is and this is just written Samurai Showdown. There's no W in there. People always put W. There's no W in there. Crazy, right? Right. What about Chris and you? What about you, man?
I can't think of any. I know some of the Japanese games, like Square was famous for using like German words.
Yeah, like
Ergeist. Yeah, and I couldn't pronounce. I was like, what is Ergeist?
Einhander.
Einhander, that wasn't too bad to pronounce. Even though I was like, what the fuck is Einhander?
Yeah. That was when they were in their German word phase.
It's German. That makes sense.
Yeah, there's probably other stuff, but I'm forgetting. But that, those are the main ones.
I would say, go ahead. Yeast as well. What did you say, Tony?
Wise.
Oh, yeah. I used to say yeast.
Yeast. That's closer.
Yeah, that's how I pronounced it, too. And it's not that either.
And I'm trying to think. I don't know if I actually did this. This is going back, but maybe I called Super Smash Brothers Melee. For some reason, that comes into my head, but I don't know if that's true or I'm fabricating it in my subconscious. No, you know,
for tonight, it's real, man.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, I'm like, it's a possibility because my English wasn't as good back in the day.
I would say, I mean, like, I don't think I had too many troubles with names of games, but characters, like, especially like. We've never heard
the motherfucking names. Street Fighter Zangief, Dahalsum.
Yeah,
you know,
Dalsim.
Yeah,
that's what it's like. So it's not Dazlum.
Yeah, Dazlum. I used to call him Dahalsum. That's what I used.
Well, if you call him Blanca, then you're wrong.
Blanca.
what was it? What was the other one? There's another one. There's Ryu.
Ryu.
Yeah. You and you.
Yeah.
Yeah, as even in the Street Fighter movie, they didn't say his name. They said his name different. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, they do say Arch is very light, you know?
You. Let's see. What? There's another guy. Oh, Guile. It was Guile or Guile.
Guile.
How do you pronounce it correctly?
Guile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's an actual word.
Yeah.
In English.
But, you know, some people call him Gule or Gooly.
Gooly.
Or just American, because he was just the American.
White guy.
Yeah. Adam, what about you? What name games have you? It could be game anything related.
It's easy, because to this day, people always correct me. Ninja Gaiden or Gaiden.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden. Yeah. That's what we used to call it, too.
Yeah, that's another one.
And they're like, no, it's Gaiden.
Yeah, Gaiden, yeah.
Come on, now. We didn't know that.
It's not Gaiden.
Katibushi.
Gaiden, man.
Is it Raiden or Raiden?
There's also that, too. Raiden, you remember Raiden was called...
Raiden.
And they called him Raiden in the Mortal Kombat game. But then in Metal Gear, Raiden is also spelled Raiden is spelled exactly the same. So it's Raiden or Raiden.
Yeah,
Raiden. And they still do it. They don't call him. They still don't call him. You know, Raiden. They call him Raiden.
Metal Gear Rising: Raiden's Revenge.
Raiden's Revenge. So Raiden shows up. Raiden.
That's funny. Here's one, and the company itself fucking made this worse. Ubisoft. It said Ubisoft, 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 you know?
Ubiquitous.
So, Ubisoft. By the way, for you guys don't know, a couple of years ago, Ubisoft actually put out a video, like, you know, like, it was called, how do you pronounce Ubisoft? And they gave all the different names, versions out there. I go, you say it how you want. I'm like, really? I sat through 3 minutes of this shit. I wanted a fucking answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, Ubisoft. Shout out to those guys. I did not always call it Ubisoft. I used to call it something. I forgot what the hell it was, though. Oh, well. Anyway, Brett, besides at Dragon Age, do you have anything else?
Not anything off the top of my
head. I'm pretty sure there's another one that we always gave Brett a hard time about.
Marbles, but that's not a game.
Marbles.
Marbles.
You leave Marble Madness out of
it.
Well,
I mean,
yes, there you go.
or Magneto or Magneto.
Yeah, comics. Yeah, I could go.
I used to call him Magneto. He called him Magneto.
Yeah. No. You're used to call him Magneto too.
Yeah, Magneto.
I didn't call him Magneto.
Then we heard it in the cartoon, and we're like, "Oh, it's Magneto."
Same thing with Thanos. I didn't know how to say his name until the video game came out. Thanos Reigns.
We called him Thanos.
Yeah, Thanos. Yeah.
You called him Thanos.
I called him Thanos. That's what I used to call him.
I called him Thanos.
Thanos.
And then who else was there? There was another one that was a contention that we didn't know the pronunciation. Oh, I called her Polaris. You called her Polaris.
Polaris. That's right. Yeah. Glorious War, go ahead, brother. Ask us some questions, man.
Jump in there.
And now the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies pronounce his name differently, too. It's like, Thought I can't even do it right.
Yeah, I'm like, Thanos. How was it again? Thanos?
No, it's Thanos. Thanos.
Thanos. Okay.
It. That's how they pronounce it, but I'm going with motherfucking Capcom. Thanos Reigns. You know, yeah.
By the way, Tony, real quick, what's the name of Tarth in Game of Thrones?
Brienne.
Brienne.
Oh man! By the way, Brett, I find it funny that when you say marbles, it sounds like you have marbles in your mouth.
Yeah, it's.
Like, I'm not even saying it as a diss. I'm saying that's an observation. You know,
it's just one of those weird words that.
Wait! Say it. Say marble.
I can't. I promise.
No, don't do it, Brett.
Wait, can I say it? I don't know if I say it right.
Go ahead. Marble. Yeah, you say it right.
You really chew the front word.
We say it again, Carlos.
Marbles.
Okay. Yeah.
Marbles.
Can I take my turn? Marbles?
Marbles?
Sounds good.
Marbles?
Brett?
Is that how you're saying that?
There you go, Brett. You got it, man.
You're saying it's a cigarette brand. It's weird. It's like marbles. Brett, wait, nope, I did it again. Damn it. Brett,
now, by Jove, I think you've got it. Now you need to say the rain in Spain goes mainly in the plane.
Oh, man.
Now, every time he says it, I'm like, this motherfucker's from Chicago. Oh, wait, he kind of is. You know, that's funny, man. All right, where the fuck are we right now? Mr. Figs. So he goes, I love the Yakuza games, Fist of the North Star, and I'm hyped for Judgment. However, with Sega banning the sale of more copies in Japan due to a voice actor snorting cocaine, would you guys rather have the game be like Yakuza 4 and have the audio and motion capture be done with a new actor and have it be delayed a few months? Or would you prefer Sega remove the Japanese dub and use the English dub since the dual audio was already recorded? I'll wait. That game, you need the fucking Japanese, man.
Yeah, I would need the Japanese.
I'm not like if we're saying
them out.
But you know, yeah. The only thing is because they have to, they literally have to recast his role, right?
And Manny, let me add this too. If they do what Yakuza did, they may get a whole different, like, you know, body in there, period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because in the previous Yakuza game, the same thing happened. There was another actor in the, you know, in the original Yakuza game, there was an actor that also had a very similar thing happen, some sort of drug shit.
It was literally the same thing. It was cocaine.
It was cocaine. And they literally just they just redesigned the whole character. They did, you know, gave him a new voice and everything.
Yeah, so I suspect they're going to do the same thing this time around.
To be honest, I feel like the thing about, like, you know, these sorts of games, it's like, why the fuck are you even bothering putting these real people in the game? Just, I mean, come on. The main character doesn't look like is not a real person. Yeah. So why does everybody around him need to be a real person?
They just need to decriminalize cocaine. What the hell's wrong with people?
There's a YouTube channel that's on you know, I forgot the name of it, but they kind of deal with this sort of stuff where it's like they look at, like, differences of versions of games from different, you know, continents and how they get, you know, censored. I think it's called Censored Gaming or something along those lines. But yeah, they go into detail on that.
Gaming, aka Australia's Bill of Rights.
By the way, Manny, you explained this during the stream, but for you guys who didn't catch the stream and don't realize that we don't just talk about the game we're playing, can you please explain to them why Japan has such strict, you know, drug laws?
Is an interesting sort of thing. So, okay, the reason why Japan has such strict drug laws is because of the United States. When the United States occupied Japan, they made incredibly strict laws against drugs. So before the United States came in, actually marijuana was legal. When we came in, they're like, no drugs or anything like that. So it's a law that has continued onward since then. So that's where all the whole stigma comes from. So it's something that we did that became ingrained in their culture. That's fucked up, right?
We gave them democracy, we gave them the drug war.
That's like if you think about it, the best example I can think of, it's like the Prime Directive, right? You know, we're going onto some alien planet. We took over the planet. We pulled ourselves out, but we left them with all this shit, you know, from our culture, you know? So that's the same thing. So that's why they're so tough on it. It's like a throwback law from the 40s.
Paul McCartney spent like I think a week or two in jail when he got caught for weed.
Yeah. He like they're really, really heavy on it. It does, and yeah. The thing is, when somebody gets caught with drugs, they see these people as like lower than human.
Oh yeah.
So they expunge them from anything. So, but Censored Gaming also gave other examples of different people that have had this has happened to, where like there was a soap opera actress who was a. There was an actress who was also a very famous pop star who got caught with drugs, and they literally her song was like on the top of the Japanese thing. They pulled it all off. They pulled any shows that she had off. It's almost like she didn't exist anymore.
They unpersoned her. That's crazy.
Yeah, they unpersoned her with it. So it's crazy. So that's how difficult. That's how crazy it is over there when it comes to that sort of stuff.
They got rid of her.
I'm sure, like, yeah, you talk about Paul McCartney. I'm sure they gave – that was a slap. That's probably a slap on the wrist with him because he's a foreigner, but they probably could have made him
pay. You got to use Japanese voice saying, hey, we like your music, but you're still going to jail.
Hey, Manny, Glorious War says it's the same thing in the Middle East. That's interesting.
That's kind of a funny one because in the Middle East, you know, if you know the Middle East, that's how a lot of the terrorism was funded because of marijuana.
Opioids. I mean, not opiates.
Oh, no, no, not opioids.
It was opium.
No, opium. Opium.
I guess that's why it's so illegal there. You know, it's like, but anyway.
Oh, no, yeah, they did claim it was weed because I actually sat down and thought about that one time and talked to some people. I was like, okay, just real quick. Are they saying that they ship weed from Afghanistan to America? Because that seems like it'd just be like a really inconvenient, inconsistent, long way to push any sort of thing. Like, it doesn't make any sense. There has to be some generalizing there.
But yeah, so when it comes to Japan, that is it. So anybody gets caught with that stuff. For that guy in Yakuza, they're removing him from the Yakuza games. They're removing from any sort of things that he's done in the past. He was in Frozen, right, as the snowman. They're removing him from the previous from Frozen, from Kingdom Hearts, and from the new Frozen movie that's coming out.
Oh, shit.
Wow. The Japanese voice actor?
The Japanese voice actor, yeah.
I wonder how it works when an American or something, like a Westerner, does something like that. Like Robert Downey Jr., he did a cocaine or something. I'm pretty sure he did.
I feel like the way the Japanese see it is like, oh, well, you know what? He's a foreigner. He's not one of us, so it's okay. But if he gets caught in Japan, you know, smoking some shit or doing some drugs, I'm sure they'll be like, what the...
Damn, yo, Glorious
Wars. Isn't it more about obeying the law? I mean, in Japanese culture, like, obeying the law, having honor. So it's the way they say it is like, when we do it, we're not really breaking their laws or we're not breaking some laws. So it's whatever it's like when you run into people that say, I don't care about people using drugs. I just care about them being illegal kind of thing. I think it's a whole country with that mentality.
Glorious Wars said that some Australians got the death penalty for doing drugs in Bali.
Well, that's that. Wow, yeah,
that's fucked up.
Because they're so very harsh on that sort of stuff. So,
and they make an example out of foreigners in some of those instances too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Don't go to some other country and start smoking some shit. See,
Don't be the stupid white guy that gets, you know, too drugged up and arrested in some foreign country. It's not going to bode well. They're going to cane you.
Oh, fucking muted myself. All right. Another question from Mike, Bike Shop Guru. He goes, RPGs, GTA, Ark, and others have pretty consistent size RP communities. Do you see the game industry really increasing their focus on role playing communities and creating more games that allow people to participate in this genre of gaming? It sounds like another bread question.
No. It's gone down. I mean, since back in the early days, it's definitely gone down, and I think that's part of out of necessity. Like when I'm saying back in the early days, like back when there was not real video games and a lot of people were doing MUDs or text-based, multi-user dungeons, which were the precursor to looter shooters. They were done all in text and little symbols in chat rooms. I know I'm blowing some of your young kids' mind, but I promise it was actually a thing. So, goddamn it, I just totally lost my train of thought. Okay, so back in those days, it was a necessity to actually kind of play into it. You actually had to use your imagination. And a lot of times as those grew, you saw stronger and stronger RP communities. One of the best ones I had seen was Ultima Online. Just half the people in that game were just RPing, and the other half weren't. And there was this kind of glorious, everybody was just okay with it. But ever since then, it's become more and more kind of niche. And I get it. It's definitely for creative type individuals. But as video games require you to use your imagination less and less, you have people wanting to fill in those blanks less and less. And so those communities get smaller and they become intrinsically less valuable to the developers. So, no, I don't think they're going to focus on them because they're kind of a dying breed. I hate to say it, but it's going away. Now it's going to be replaced by new ways to express creativity. And that's, you know, what I think dreams are essentially the next evolution of MUDs, of content created by people who play the game. So you're going to see more of an evolution of it. But no, I don't think you're going to see people, speaking in High Elvish. I think you're going to see people building High Elvish kingdoms to host games in. So it'll just be an evolution.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting sort of thing because it's like when it comes to those sorts of, you know, role-playing sorts of worlds, not as many people want to sort of play along. It's more like you as you are, as yourself, rather than you playing a character.
Yeah, well, even as somebody who likes to DM, like, yeah, I would sit down and write a mod and run through an old DM campaign. But at the same time, you give me something like Dreams where I can build an environmental world and then bring some players into it and have them, you know, host a game. That's ultimately the dream. And it's essentially doing the same thing, just approaching it from different ends. So as you find different ways to facilitate demand, you're going to find different avenues that do so. So eventually, I guess what I'm saying is creativity changes and we're not bound by the need to speak in a certain way or use gestures in a certain way. Like, why would you say, you know, semicolon, insert action here, semicolon, when you could just make your avatar visually do that emote or action? It renders the old mode unnecessary. And so at that point, the only people that you have using, you know, semicolon, or asterisk, insert action here, or whatever the fuck they use anymore. I'm probably dating myself really hard right now. Whatever you used for that it's unnecessary anymore. It's been replaced by emotes and waves and dances and the fucking floss dance from Fortnite.
Shit, I had a buddy in college who refused to use a mouse. He was like, there's no point for using a mouse. I can function perfectly fine with just my keyboard navigation. So,
damn, son.
Yeah.
There will always be people that like that archaic stuff, and I totally get it. But you have to understand, it's a niche community that throws you back to your youth, that time in your life when that was important. And there are other people that share that, but it's really not a mass appeal kind of thing. Now, the ingredients that made that unique for you, that will always be a mass appeal kind of thing. Like, not to get on too much of a side tangent, but like I tell people, like, yeah, like I kind of feel like punk rock died. But I feel like a lot of the ideals of punk rock made its way into underground hip hop, and you see them living there. And so, yes, punk rock is dead, but no, punk rock isn't dead. And it's kind of the same instance you see here. You saw a bunch of people with a high amount of creativity wanting to put together to help create the shared world. Are they going to do it the same way that they used to? No. That's kind of niche and going to get smaller. But are they going to find ways to be able to share content and share vision? Well, yeah, absolutely. That's essentially what Dreams is. That's why everybody's so excited about it. That's why people are excited about sharing content. That's why Twitch streamers are getting big. That's the world is changing around us to accommodate that vision.
Cool. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Take that as a no. So we'll move on here to
the world has changed.
Yeah, I love how we keep hearing the fucking Division from Adam's background. Ellen Page's forehead. All right, so her first question is
a solid burn.
Yeah. Actually, it's a forehead, male or female? It's a female forehead. Yeah, it's a her. All right. You're her now, buddy. Okay. I out of all the gaming rumors or gossip in your recent memory or in recent times, which ones did you hope would be true and why? So, yeah, which rumors did you wish were true? Like, man, that'd be cool. Damn, motherfuckers. Go ahead, Carlos. You first, man.
I mean, I don't know how recent you want us to be, but this was like, what, 10 years ago when there was rumors about Microsoft acquiring BioWare? I really wanted that, and I didn't get it. And we are all suffering the consequences since. So, yeah.
I got one. I wanted the rumor that Scalebound was coming to Switch to be true.
Oh, shit. I mean, you never know.
Can I just say I wanted Deep Down to be a thing?
Oh. That wasn't a rumor. Yeah. That was just Capcom teasing everyone and then not following through.
Yeah, right.
Brian just sneezed.
Yeah, right. Oh. Brian ain't here though. Manny, what about you? Rumor that you wanted to be true.
Rumor that I wanted to be true. I don't know. I mean, the one thing about rumors is this, I just kind of take them with a sort of a grain of salt sort of thing. But maybe somebody knows better than I. I don't know.
Glorious War says he wanted the Sony buying Take-Two rumor to be true just for the salt.
I want to see that just so I can see the fucking gaming industry burn.
Yeah, I would love that. I would be on Twitter all fucking
that
day.
That should be worth the fucking price of admission.
It really would be. You know? Chris.
Some people want to see the world burn, Master Wayne.
I don't know. Were we wish casting when we were talking about like Microsoft possibly buying Konami? Or was that just wish casting?
I think that was wish casting, yeah.
Well, supposedly he asked about it. It was a long time ago they were talking about that when they were up for sale. And it came up, and I remember that just the first time I ever heard it, that it's frowned upon for Japanese companies to sell to Western companies.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't like keep that, it in the family. Yeah.
They wouldn't even entertain the idea for Microsoft. This is when Microsoft early on was gobbling up studios. This is before even Xbox.
Yet they're so fucking easily adopt our fucking drug policies. But yeah, buying their studios. Yeah, good for you, man. Let Konami fucking die.
Oh. Do the Third says, I want that rumor of there being a new Fable in development.
Oh. Well, there was a Fable game that is still sitting, a finished Fable game.
Yeah, they scrapped. No. Shut down a Lionhead.
Adam, what about you?
Was that you pouring one out for what Lionhead right there? That little clang, ding.
Yep. Adam, what about you, man?
Mine was with EA, that Microsoft was going to buy EA. And that was a few years back, but this is when EA was hard up for money.
Wasn't that last year?
Was it last year?
I think I heard something like that last year.
Yeah, and that's what he's talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and they were talking about that. Yeah,
I remember.
I really wanted that to happen because I'm like,
we talked about it in the show.
Yeah, we did.
You know, that would be a big deal.
Brett, what about you?
I'm not really coming up with much. And there were things that looked like they were going to be promising but never came up. But
what, like Sea of Thieves?
Damn. Reopening that room and shit.
Ouch. Put seawater in that bitch. You know? I don't really pay that much attention to the rumor mill until I have, you know, evidence from the outside that there's going to be something true.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't put that much stock in it, so I haven't really been disappointed. So I don't have anything of memory. I was like, oh man, I wish that were true.
Salt of Thieves.
I wish everything that Peter Molyneux spewed out in these fucking conferences was true.
Oh shit.
Are those rumors? rumors?
See, he was shouting rumors about his own shit.
That's where I get split. Like, I want to say things like, as much as I love Mass Effect, I really wish that it did what we all thought it was going to do and have, you know,
oh, yeah,
a bunch of different. But again, that's more PR than rumor, so.
Well, no, it wasn't, because Mass Effect 3 didn't deliver in what they promised. Yeah, remember, they said.
Rumor, though.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know if that would qualify as rumor, although I guess they were the ones that started the rumor, so yeah, kind of, but...
Well, they just plainly lied.
Damn.
That's pretty much what it was.
All right, moving on here. I think we may have answered this before, so the next question is, what are some of your favorite spiritual successor games? But it feels like we've done that before.
No, we just talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Okay, even though this is going a little bit off track, my favorite spiritual successor game is Bloodborne because it's the Castlevania I've always wanted in 3.
I don't know if I can top that answer.
My favorite spiritual successor game is Uncharted 2 because it's a spiritual successor to Tomb Raider.
Mm, that's a good one.
Damn, even though there's a new Tomb Raider.
Even though the Tomb Raider is a spiritual successor to fucking Uncharted.
Which is a spiritual successor to Tomb Raider.
To Tomb Raider.
There, it just goes in a circle.
Yep.
The circle is now completed. Spiritual successor games.
I got another one. Darksiders. To me, that's as close as I'm going to get to, you know, a new Soul Reaver. That's what we're going to get. So I really like those first two games. I can't speak about the third one, but the first one specifically really reminded me of Soul Reaver, the way the world was structured and everything. You know, that was really good.
Lost Odyssey is like the best Final Fantasy game in the past, like, 15 years.
Bravely Default.
Last Remnant was, I think, the best Final Fantasy game.
Those are two that always get brought up.
Wasn't Last Remnant, like, more... Action-oriented?
No, it was a weird game where, like, you controlled a squad like you would a party, but then you had five squads, so you controlled a little army, but you controlled each squad as if it were a single person. Like, you would command them to attack, and if they had two attackers in it, they would attack. So it was like this epic 40-on-40 battles, but really it was just you were using five party members clustered together to make a little tiny Voltron, and then that Voltron attacked. It was really cool, though, and it was made by a lot of the same people who worked on Final Fantasy after they left Square. So
yeah, I
definitely count that as a true spiritual successor.
I'm going to also go with Bravely Default. That's a spiritual successor to Final Fantasy as well. Great fun game.
I kind of also want to throw it out there to Wasteland, but that was literally the company that invented Fallout and then lost the license to Fallout, and so then they went on to make another Fallout type game, and now they're about to make another Fallout type game, which I find infinitely hilarious.
Yo, I'm looking for the Outer Worlds.
I'm telling you, I want to put the Outer Worlds in as a precursor to this answer. Like, I haven't played it, but I already feel like it's going to be a great spiritual successor to the original Fallout games, which is the reason I'm so excited.
I also like Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, because that's like a spiritual successor to Castlevania 3. Just fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well done game.
Yep. Anybody else?
Adam,
I'm looking at you.
Which one? What? I thought I just...
Name another one, man.
Another one?
Yeah.
Come on, keep us
ready. I named like five of them myself.
Yeah, I named 10.
I just want to make sure if Adam's paying attention. I don't think he is.
I thought I just answered it. That's why. That was the first thing about the...
About what? What was the question, Adam? What was the question?
The successor.
Yeah, spiritual successor game.
Oh, shit. Spiritual? I don't know. I think of anything.
I got him.
Mega Man games. We see
dude is too distracted by Division.
Yep, I knew it, man.
Talking about?
What are you talking about? Controller.
Yeah, right, what are you talking about? Click, 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 click. Now I understand the satisfaction a teacher feels when he calls on a student that he knows is not paying fucking attention. That was beautiful.
I just like how you let him run out mid-sentence. Like, no, keep going.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was like, what, Adam? What's the question?
I would think yo, Adam, you good?
You good, Adam? You
good? For a long time, we were waiting for Mega Man 11, and we got all these other knockoffs, and I was like, "Well, we're never going to get another Mega Man, so these are all just as good." What was the one that kind of sucked?
Oh, fuck. Mighty Number 9. That bullshit game. Fuck that game, man.
For the longest time, we were getting a lot of Castlevania knockoffs, so.
Get it all out there before your load screen's over.
No. He's talking like a Micro Machines man now.
So it's funny. I wonder if anybody can knows what controller by the sound that it is that is making.
Oh, that's totally a PlayStation controller.
Oh, this one?
Oh, I don't know. No, that's not a PlayStation.
Oh, controller. That sounds like the Nintendo one.
No, it's an Xbox one. Oh! Yeah,
I knew it was Xbox. I fucking knew it, man. Xbox has a very specific sound. Yeah.
Yeah. Triggers.
Manny, stop. You're giving me ideas right now. Like, imagine, like,
yeah,
your questions, like, audio version. It's like, name the controller. Click, click, click. Oh, my God, Manny. We're going to do this as a contest one day. We're going to have a controller. We're going to click on him, and you have to guess it correctly, and the winner will get something awesome.
Name that button. That is that. Dude, bam. Yeah.
The next-gen console. I'm calling it.
By the way, I do have quite a bit of older consoles here, so yeah, we might find something.
But it has to be original controller. It can't be a knockoff.
Yes,
it has to be.
Oh no, I have original controllers. I don't.
Yeah, you know, Manny don't throw shit away.
He is playing some Name That Button soon.
Yeah. Oh, throw down, man.
Throw down. But yeah, I mean, spiritual successors. That's a really difficult one for me, because I can't, like, you know.
Nier is like a spiritual successor to like 10 games.
Man, you like Curse of the Moon, man.
Oh yeah, I love Curse of the Moon. I agree with you on that one. Yeah. But I mean, like, yeah, Nier is kind of a weird sort of way because it is a spiritual successor to Nier, and it's a spiritual successor to Platinum Games. Because I mean, literally, you can put a chip on 2B that makes her essentially parry like fucking Raiden from a Metal Gear Rising Revengeance if you liked that sort of control.
And you can also make her dodge like Bayonetta, can't you?
You can not, yeah, she dodges. You have Witch Time like Bayonetta. So it's like an amalgam of all their games, all the different control types of all their different type of games.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Glorious, we got your questions, bro. All right, next question here. Actually, yeah, we're on to Glorious War now. So his first question is, have any of you guys played... By the way, you're a sneaky little motherfucker right now. So I see what you did here, man. He got two questions in, but I'll let it slide, man. This is a two-in-one. Okay, have any of you guys played a full series of games recently? And his example is, after beating Devil May Cry 5 through twice, I want to play this series, which I haven't experienced before. So that's the first part of the question. So have any of you guys, like, you know a game's coming, it's like, all right, I'm playing every game beforehand. I used to do that shit back in the day. Like, when Metal Gear Solid 4 was coming out, it's like, all right, let's do this, let's get ready, you know? I guess kind of recently, even though I didn't get through the entire series, I did play through Mega Man 1 through 5 before 11 came out. My goal was to get through all of them, but I just, you know, time.
Oh, I got one for you, Tony.
What was up?
Gears of War.
Before
Gears of War 4, you played all the Gears of War
games. Yeah, damn, see? Carlos has a better memory than me.
Bam, you did it.
There you go. All right, so
I got another one.
Oh, damn, for me?
Yeah, and for me.
Oh, shit.
Halo. Before Halo Infinite.
My little Halo.
you're in the process of that one, right?
Yeah, I'll get to Halo. Sure. I mean, I wasn't planning on it, but sure. Why not? Yeah, I guess, Carlos, I'm going to just get through those automatically, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, Gears of War, Mega Man, and Metal Gear used to do that. I think I did it also with Prince of Persia. When I knew the new game was coming for PS3, I played all the older ones. Yeah, I used to do a lot of that back in the day. I don't do it anymore, though. No time. Manny, go ahead.
I've actually not done that sort of thing. Usually the first time I play a game is actually the last time I play the game, because I get every single game, every single thing that's in it. You know what I mean? The only exception to that rule is if the game gets re-released and I want to play it again. But I don't usually play them before the new release. Yeah. In other words, like Kingdom Hearts just came out, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3 just came out. I didn't go playing through all the Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah, I'm like Manny, except for Halo, I haven't really gone back to a franchise and played the whole thing. Even if it's the first playthrough, like even if I'm playing like a game for the first time, I'm not playing the prequels, like prequel series before. Like the only thing that's going to come close to that, but it's not really, is the Yakuza series, because I'm going to play through the whole thing, but I'm just waiting for everything to get re-released.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what about you?
Fucking Adam. Agent killed.
I was going to say Resident Evil, because I played the second one, you know, the remake, and last year I played 7. I replayed 5 again with Kristen.
Nice.
I played 4, like, multiple times, because it came out, like, every single system ever. And I played all the original ones.
Awesome.
It's the Uncharted Collection when that came out, and I replayed 1, 2, and 3 before 4 came. So I replayed them because I had them individually, but then when that collection came, I wound up getting that collection, and I just replayed it. It was like remastered, enhanced, whatever term they use at the time.
You, Adam, yeah. You don't replay Madden 95 through 2010 before 2011 comes out?
Nope. But... if it comes to the story mode for the longest, what's it called? The Long Yard? I think it was called the Long
Yard. That's what she said, man.
That was the story mode that they introduced for Madden. That wasn't too bad. I have to play the next one, actually. That was in Madden 18.
Brett, what about you? He's probably talking right now.
Nope, sorry. I totally spaced out and got sidetracked by the conversation. I forgot what the original question was.
Have you ever gone back to play an entire series before a new game came out?
That's right. No, I ain't got the time for that shit. That's why I forgot
to make this money, nope. Motherfuckers.
Dude, I don't have the time to like keep track of the games that are currently going on. Like, I'm already behind on The Division. And this is why.
Like, it's almost like The Division is like our soundboard right now.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
God. Right, and the second part of this question: what Devil May Cry 5 game should he start with? Start with the first one, bro. Play them in order.
Yeah, the first one was good.
Even though I'm just going to tell you right now, 2 and 4, but play them anyway, just so you know, just so you get a feel for it.
Yeah, two,
you could skip that game.
I'm an advocate of skipping the shit games, man.
Okay, so you know what? Play 1, play 3, play 5, and you're good.
Nah, play 4.
Don't play 4.
Which is the one with the short haired guy flying through a bus?
That's 4.
4.
Which is the one with Nero?
4.
That's 4. Yeah.
4 is kind of cringy.
4 is half of a good game.
It is half of a good game. Yeah. It is the other half of a not good game.
Yeah. The thing with if you have any of you watched the History of DMC option on Devil May Cry 5?
No.
I saw a little bit of it and I turned it off.
That thing might be maybe 12 to 15 minutes long. I swear they mentioned Devil May Cry 2 for like 10 seconds. They went into detail on every single one except that one. They're like, this existed. Moving on.
They're like, this one has dishonored Capcom, and this one was a great one.
You know what that reminds me of? I don't know if you saw this tweet from Kojima today. So actually, it was one of those things where somebody took a screenshot of a tweet he did before and then one he did now. So the first screenshot was him after he saw Black Panther. He's like, Black Panther was fantastic. He went on this whole thing talking about how great Black Panther was, right? And then next to it, saw Captain Marvel, and that's all he said. Like, damn, ouch. Kojima, shit.
Well, the thing about it is, it's like, you know, the Japanese are polite, right?
Yeah, exactly. He don't got nothing nice.
He's
to
not going to say anything negative if he didn't like the movie, but you know, he'll say something incredibly positive.
Yeah, every time Kojima likes something, he goes like sometimes on a couple of threads, like he'll just say a bunch of shit. Black Panther, he just loved the fuck out of it. Captain Marvel, he just goes, "I saw Captain Marvel."
Yeah, that's almost the most damning thing, because that's kind of okay. I'm trying to put it in our local equivalent. It would be like, hey man, did you see that new Captain Marvel movie? Yeah. And I saw it.
And no one did.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that's what happened with Devil May Cry 2. It's like, yeah, you know, that happened.
Well, that's like Square you know, talking about Final Fantasy 8. It's like they're like Final Fantasy 7, the greatest game ever created. Final Fantasy 8, Final Fantasy 9.
And think about it, like in Devil May Cry 5, like all the main good guy characters, his partner characters came back, except the girl from 2.
That's right.
And she's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, so yeah, play me now with 1, 3, and 5. And just do me a favor, after you played all those, go and play DMC and let me know what you think of that, because I love that game, but a lot of people don't like it. You know, but yeah, play 1, 3, and 5. Pretty much skip the even number ones. All right. Where the fuck are we right now? The reverse Star Trek. Yeah, pretty much. All right. We got you, Big Mike. We got you, man. Next question here. With the gaming field becoming more competitive. By the way, Glorious War, I edited your question here, so let me know if I, you know, fucked up, but I think I got it right. With the gaming field becoming more competitive with Google and Amazon buying more studios, do you see Sony and Nintendo buy more developers or publishers? I see Sony buying a Japanese publisher like Capcom or Konami. Interesting.
Here's the thing. You also got to understand how big Konami actually is in Japan. They're pretty big.
Don't they have arcades?
They have arcades. They do slot machines. They own fucking like spas and shit. You know, So they're pretty big. I would think if anything, if Sony or any other company were to buy Konami, it would only be their gaming arm. It would only be the side that actually makes, that actually produces the games, and that's about it.
Yeah, you got to understand, like, you know, we know Konami from their console games and all that, but that's just a side hustle for them. You know?
There are multiple arms that they have, just like even Sony has multiple arms where, you know, you talk about the different music parts, we kind of mostly see the TV side, right? You know, the guys that make, you know, the portion of them that makes TVs and the portion of them makes video games. But there's so many other arms that they're into. They're intertwined in the music industry.
Yeah, Sony
they're,
music.
They're intertwined into you know, film, you know, with Sony Pictures. So there's so many different pieces.
What they call
subsidiaries.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you think about all that?
I don't see it happening. They didn't do it before. They're not going to do it now.
Sony and Nintendo, you don't think you're going to start buying? Yeah. Do you really think Google and Amazon are a big threat to these companies? I don't see them as.
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, like the companies that Google and Amazon are getting their hands on, they're not like top of the food chain companies.
Ubisoft is pretty top of the food chain.
They're not acquired. They're not being acquired. They're not acquired by,
but they're doing something with them.
But he said acquired. He's saying buying.
Right about, they're just.
So they're not buying Ubisoft.
Yeah. You're right. They're not buying any companies. You know, they're buying companies no one's ever heard of. Probably.
If anything, I mean, to be honest, like it is pretty much a possibility. If you remember, not long ago, with Ubisoft, like that one company was, that one guy was trying to essentially, you know, gain majority share with their company. Remember.
Yeah.
And they were in pretty big trouble. So, I mean, to be honest, like I could definitely see, Google maybe becoming an investor in them and essentially gaining a little bit more, you know, sway on their side. But I don't know if about buying them yet. That's right. Signal detected.
I don't know. Maybe I could be completely wrong, but I really don't think Sony or Nintendo see Google or Amazon.
Yeah, I don't. They don't.
I agree. I don't think they would. They do.
Yeah, so in that case, I don't think they're going to react just on based on what Google or Amazon is doing. I don't think you're going to react to them like that, you know?
Is that Google thing this week?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay. I'll pay attention.
Depending on what happened. Yeah, Tuesday morning, right?
Okay, I think so.
Tuesday's
that may change our answer depending what they say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so come back. Again, you know.
We've created the Sega. Blah, blah,
blah. Yeah. Sega. Come back on Thursday when we fully talk about it, man.
They have their girl Jade Raymond who knows some shit, so you know, she could be guiding them in some pretty interesting directions.
We shall see. All right, next question from Mr. Big Mike. So also about Google. All right, what kind of machine do you think Google will show off at GDC? Will it be a console or a Steam machine? We don't know, sir.
Apparently,
it's supposed to be a console, but who the fuck knows?
I don't know if it's going to be a console in the sense of like physical media console. I think it's going to be more of a downloadable sort of thing,
like a Roku,
kind of like a Roku.
Yeah, I see that. I can see that.
Like,
Ouya,
or an Ouya.
I mean, because Roku, it's just streaming.
Well, because they have a Chromecast. Maybe they want to do like the next sort of Chromecast that plays video games.
Apple TV tried to do, and that sort of didn't work out.
Who tried it?
Apple TV. Remember when they were advertising that it could play games, and they were going to have games on it?
Or Sony. Remember, they were also in that world, too.
All you needed was a DualShock controller, and you were good.
Yeah. You needed the DualShock 3, and you on all of their Bravias and a bunch of their DVD players, they had the PlayStation. PlayStation Now? Yeah, mm-hmm. Got PlayStation Now on them. It didn't seem to work out so well though. But I mean, who knows? I mean, the thing is that people, I feel like when it comes to the market of Google, like they're the same but different. I feel like when it comes to that, it's like, people will just be like, all right, let me try this gay video game thing that they put in there. You know what I mean? As opposed to just be like being directly gravitated for it. But again, it depends on the things that they have behind it.
Yeah. But again, like I said, when we talked about this on Thursday, I don't really want to go into speculation land. We'll wait till Tuesday. Yeah. We'll see. Special. What's up.
Speculation.
Yeah. Another question related to this, which I'm also going to say, wait till Tuesday. Rumors are swirling that Sega may partner with Google, and all the games will be on the new Google system. What do you think? We'll see on Tuesday. I don't want to speculate.
We'll
right
see
now.
On Tuesday. Yeah, we'll yeah, see yeah. on Tuesday, but I don't know. That'd be a very interesting thing with Sega, because they're yeah. they're making some pretty decent money on doing exclusive yeah. Sony stuff.
I'd say that would be an incredibly unwise gamble for them to be exclusive to an unproven system, especially like considering how much market share Sony has or whatever, to go, no, we're going to go with these guys. That would be crazy.
Yeah, that'd be stupid. Like, Google's a bigger company, obviously, but this shit ain't tested. I still don't think this Google machine, whatever the hell it is going to take off like that, like people think. You know,
the G machine.
The G machine. The G right. spot. Call it that.
I'm really surprised. Unless it's a modified version of a Chromebook, you know?
Yeah.
If they're like, you know what? We already have Chromebooks. We just tweaked this one a little bit. It could play games, and here you go. And it's got a big screen, and I could see that.
Yeah, again, you know, Tuesday will tell. All right. That was the last question, but we do have a comment here that I want to get your thoughts on. You, Adam, specifically, so you got to put that in the controller. This is really free because, you know, basically, I know how you feel about the WWE games and the engine and all that and nukes. My man here, Digital Tiger, has a different take on it. He goes for the W. And Adam, let me finish reading the whole question because I know you're about to go off. Okay. For the WWE engine, nukes and 2K are perfect. But I think they need longer development cycle, at least 2 years instead of being annual. It's on the cusp of being phenomenal. It's great already. They just need more time to iron out the bugs with more testing. The photorealism character models is outstanding. The clown / corny purist saying Fire Pro Wrestling is better can go play in traffic. Okay, so he loves Ukes, and you know you don't like Ukes. So what do you make of that?
I don't like Ukes because they keep saying that they have another team working on another engine, and we've heard that for years now. They keep saying, "Oh no, we know we're working on another engine. It's going to come. Where is it? I don't believe it." Yeah, they definitely do need a longer release window this because it's every year. But it's still there's no funding. We heard recently, well, not recently, but a few months back when 2K announced, I guess, because it was poor sales for it, and he said, "Hey, we're going to put more money into the WWE product. We're going to put more money into it." Well, that money needs to go to developing a new engine or hiring a new team to help work out because this is, it's very stale. You know, it had some progress since 2K12 when they changed the camera angle and they slowed things down from the SmackDown versus Raw series. And I was like, oh, wow, this is great. But then after a while, it just kept going and going the same route. Nothing's changed. And it just got real stale. And if I had to play between this, the 2K series and Fire Pro, I would stick with the WWE one. Fire Pro is a completely different thing. You know, it's different, but the reason why I keep saying it's Uke's fault is because they just keep lying to us. You know, but then again, like we brought this up before, I don't know any other studio that's ready to take control because you need a special engine, a grapple engine, and EA has dropped the ball when it comes to the grappling and the UFC games. So I can't say, oh, well, yeah, just give it to that team that's doing the UFC games. No, that's not happening. So, but I see what he's getting at. I mean, it looks great. That's the thing. It's not a problem of it looking shitty. It's just, it plays shitty. It's got all these bugs. I've constantly, whenever I'm playing, there's always something going on. My guy's disappearing through the ropes and moves aren't connecting, or he's pointing in the wrong direction, even though it says that I'm pointed at the wrestler that I'm trying to grab. It's got all these bugs.
I'm never, to be honest, I feel like the Ukes engine has always had those same sort of issues, even going back to the
PlayStation. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. And they keep saying, oh, we'll fix it. They never fix it. They just make another version.
All they do is, it just seems to me, all they do is just make the engine prettier, but they really don't fix a lot of the mechanics underneath it.
No, and I get what he's saying. It's like, oh, if they had a longer release window, yeah, but...
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, if you had it for any group, the game will be better because then you have more time, or if you had more members of the team, and I think that would be their solution. Get another team, say, hey, this is what we have. Can you build on it? How long does it take? What, 2 years? All right, you got 2 years to do it. We have to keep pumping out every year another WWE game, so we can't help you on that. You know, and hopefully that's what 2K meant by saying, hey, we're going to put more money into the 2K product.
I have no, I don't play these fucking games. So I have no input whatsoever. Said, for me to enjoy goes, where is where's the Google thing? GDC, and I guess it's San Francisco. Who knows? Who the fuck cares? You're going to be watching it on stream anyway. You know, it don't matter unless you're going to go there. And if you are, I'll go with you, man.
Well, maybe he's trying to pinpoint if there's any big name studios in the area. You know,
that's San Francisco. You already know. You know,
usually at GDC, there's also some pretty good. Like if you guys pay attention to it, there are actually some really good, like, you know, tech talks about a lot of the different things in there. Like, you know, that's where a lot of game studios talk about their engines and stuff like that. So if you keep an eye out there,
oh shit, he lives in San Francisco. Hey, maybe you could sneak in, bro.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, here's the thing: you can buy a ticket to GDC.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can buy a ticket to go to GDC. It's just kind of expensive, but you can go.
Interesting.
I had a friend that was in game developed some games for iPhone, and he would pay to go in every year, you know, to talk about the game and talk shop with the folks in the industry. So yeah.
I got invited to GDC, but you know, money's tight, so I didn't go. Mm-hmm.
I got invited too.
No, you didn't. You know, Duda Third says they have the best clam chowder. Chowder.
Are you saying better than Boston?
Huh?
How about them apples?
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Yeah.
No, Manny, you don't remember that from The Simpsons? Chowder.
No, I'm talking about. He said that.
He says the best clam chowder.
San Francisco?
Yeah. I never heard of San Francisco clam chowder. There's only, if we're from the East Coast, but there's only two types of clam chowder. There's shitty New York clam chowder, and then there's Boston clam chowder.
There's New England clam chowder.
New England clam chowder, yeah.
Well,
maybe shitty New York clam chowder.
Doesn't Maryland have something? Crab or something? I don't know.
Did you say crap?
No, crab.
Crab chowder, right?
They have crab chowder.
Like, they're famous for something seafood. I forgot.
You mean everything seafood?
I don't know.
And as always, something reminds me of The Simpsons. Chowder, it's chowder. Oh, man. All right, man. By the way, I love the fact that now we have 27 people watching and we ran out of show. But hey, it's fueled by you guys, man. If this was a regular show, we would have just vamped with some bullshit. But
yeah, if you want us to keep going, you can drop a couple of more questions.
Yeah, drop a couple of questions, man. Video game questions. Otherwise, we're going to wrap it up. We'll play Division.
Wrap it up. We're enjoying Adam in the Division world.
Stuff. Yeah,
we'll just talk bullshit while we're not on air.
Gold Race War, you know what? I'm going to let it slide, even though it's your third question, sir.
Or perhaps you'd rather
sir.
Ooh, there we go. Yeah, all right. Gold Race War asks, do you guys think Death Stranding is coming out this year?
No.
No. Come on. Fuck out of here. That shit ain't coming this year.
Bro. I'm going to say this. They're suggesting that it will come out this year.
And I don't believe him.
Kojima's talking with marketing people already, so
he's too busy FaceTiming Jeff Keighley like 24/7. So
I don't know. I mean, he's too busy
hating on Captain Marvel.
Yeah. I think
passive aggressiveness.
I think there might be something coming. I don't exactly think that the game is coming, but it's. We'll see. If anything, it'll be. Here's what it'll be. You know how they say it'll be. They say in this year, but if you remember, the fiscal year actually ends in February, right?
No.
March.
When does it end?
End of March.
End of March. So officially, now, right now, we are in. We're still in last year. That's why all those games that all these games officially, the last Resident Evil 4 and Devil May Cry officially were released last year because of the cockamamie way the fiscal year works.
Resident Evil 2?
Yeah, Resident Evil 2. So I would say what's going to happen is it may not be released in 2019 the year, but it may be released in 2019 the fiscal year. So we might get it early next year.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah,
that is so, so true. All right. Okay. What was the last game that made you rage quit?
The Division 2.
Oh shit.
That's from
Man.
Sketch, my man. Thank you for the question. Carlos, why did it make you rage quit?
because there's this glitch in the game where you can't use your R1 and L2. What do you call those things? Or L1,
skills,
L1?
Your skills.
Your skills. Yeah, and it makes the game freaking hard.
And I'm like, Carlos, I'm quoting Manny right now, you ain't got no skills, man.
You got no skills, man.
I ain't got skills. I got no skills.
we literally wrote that. I wrote that in the chat. We're like, you, Tony, you were talking about the skills. I'm like, yo, man, you ain't got no skills.
And I said, I literally don't.
It's annoying because I keep dying on this one because it's a side mission, and I keep dying on it because the map is like, it's just constructed in a way where the enemies come from all sides, so I need something to keep check, like I need a turret and I need my freaking drone to like just chill in the cut and defend, but I can't, and I keep dying, and I'm like, yeah, screw this shit, I'm gonna watch anime.
There you go.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Rage, Adam, you're Mr. Rage Quit. What's the last game that made you rage quit?
Rage quit in almost every game I play. Doesn't matter what it is. It's whether it's this, it's FIFA, it's
my name Sonic, is Mayo.
Ninja Turtles, Pac-Man, Hotline Miami.
Damn.
Ubert, you name it. I fucking rage quit on everything. That shit gets me pissed. I just turn the shit off and do something else.
All right, Manny, go ahead.
I don't know. I can't recall a game that I've actually rage quit.
Okay,
I know
you're not a ragey person. What about annoyed quit?
I mean, I've stopped playing a game because of a Destiny, right? I quit that game, you know, at least the demo, because I realized what it was. I wasn't exactly angry at it.
You mean rage quit and then you just eventually go back to playing it? You don't mean like...
No, I'm just totally just done, not playing it anymore.
Jason, I don't have any game really. I always go back to them.
I can tell you.
I play it anymore, and then I put it down, and then I come back later. But at that moment, I'm just fed up.
Yeah, you still come back to them. You know?
One game, like Metal Gear for the GameCube. I actually stopped playing that and just didn't ever play it again, for the one reason because
Twin
of
Snakes,
the
right.
Yeah, Twin Snakes, because I feel like that the game is kind of jankily made, to be honest. There's something inherently wrong with that game. Especially like, okay, you know, if you want to talk about like, you know, like how messed up it is, right? So obviously if you come inside of the, you know, when you come in underneath the water and you get into the first level, right? The first area is like the test area, right? You know, there's only two guards there. There's not a lot, you know, when you get an alert, it's not that bad because there's no reinforcements. On the Twin Snakes version of that game, for some reason, it spawns other soldiers. Even on the side that's supposed to be not, there's not supposed to be anything. They just spawn on that side. So, I mean, it's like, okay, that means that you guys didn't realize what this level was supposed to be. And you just applied the same bullshit to this as you did to every part of the other game. And there's still portions of it that didn't make any sort of sense, the decisions they made. So I stopped playing that game.
Barry Burton says he rage quit gaming in 2008. Damn.
See, now you guys are talking about long-term quitting. Now, for that, I can't really say I'm done. Because I feel like, well, I own it. I have to put some time into it. I got to figure something out, or I'll wait till they patch the shit or do something. But
well, like, if you're talking about long-term quitting, it's not really rage, though. Like, Ark?
Yeah.
I play that shit for 30 minutes. I'm like, man, this is some bullshit. Fuck this game. But I wasn't mad. I was just like, whatever. But I did rage finish Blood Rain. I forgot the name of it, but it was the 2D one that came out, almost 10 years ago. Man, I rage quit that shit every 10 minutes. I was so fucking mad. The game was so, it was so frustrating because, like, it was really, really cheap, you know? But at the same time, I had my pride. I'm like, no, I'm finishing this fucking game. So I rage finished that game. But it took a while.
How about Driver or, you know, or Stuntman?
I wasn't mad at those. I was just like, this game's stupid. This ain't Grand Theft Auto, you know? Grand Theft Auto 3 fucked me up so bad I couldn't play another game for, like, you know, a bunch of months. Because everything just seemed inferior to it.
This kind Metal Gear game, inferior to Grand Theft Auto.
Rockstar fucks me up, man. That happened to me almost with Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, for the 2 months afterwards, I'm like, every game just seemed like shit compared to it, you know? But yeah, rage quit Blood Rain. I hate fucking Blood Rain, man.
The side scroller or the
side scroller. And it's funny because I like the company way forward. I like the company, but I hate that fucking game. You know, another one. I didn't rage quit. I rage finished was Resident Evil 6. I hated that fucking game, but I was like, I gotta finish this shit. But I was mad the whole time.
Yeah, know? I beat it too, but I was like, wow, this is stupid.
Yeah.
My girlfriend stopped playing that game. She's like, why the fuck am I playing this? Blah.
Yeah.
And she was like, it through the Ada Wong section of the game. She's like, why the ugh, whatever.
But I think the worst is like when I just stop playing a game because I just lose interest. Like whatever the last Need for Speed game was. I like Need for Speed games, but this one I was like, eh, I don't feel like playing anymore. I just stopped. I played enough just to write my preview or whatever, or impressions, and I was done. I'm like, eh.
you're like playing it and you just drop the controller.
Yeah, it's like I'm going home. All right, Chris, rage quitting.
Rage quit. Does whatever Spy Hunter had the rock in it, that game was so bad. Yes. You played it? Yeah.
I remember Chris beefing about it when he first got it. Yeah, I remember
that. I'm like, yo, this is trash. I fucking stuck it back in the mail to Gamefly that night. The same day I got it. I was like, this is garbage.
Oh,
I'm so pissed off.
All right. Brett.
Red Dead Redemption Online.
Yeah, actually, yes. Exactly. I don't rage quit often.
But when I do. Like
yeah, but when I do, I fucking rage quit games. I think the last time I played Red Dead was it on the stream, Tony, when we had
Quitted the stream, that's right.
I hit a glitch and you hear me just go,
yeah.
I'll see you guys all later. And that was the last time I touched Red Dead.
Damn. I remember that. That's documented for you people. That's crazy. All right. I think that's going to do it, man. Thank you guys for joining us as always. You already know. Let me read some of these comments. Do the third set. He rage quit Mass Effect Andromeda. Damn.
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
That's a good one. I did too.
But I keep.
I rage finished the game.
I didn't delete it.
No, I think rage quitting was probably the right call.
That's still on that.
I rage finished it. Actually, I wasn't rage. I was just like, what the fuck is this? BioWare, man?
What you doing?
Yeah. But I had to finish it, you know? Oh, man. Disappointed. Now they got Anthem. It's like, come on, BioWare. What the fuck are you doing, man? But that's another story for another day, man. Anyway, so here's the nice little graphic for you guys. So you know how to ask us dumb questions. So how to submit your questions. Step one, join our Discord. Why am I doing this accent? Step two, on Discord, go to a throw down your questions section. And step three, submit your questions. Limit to two, please. And please join the Discord because we have a lot of fun in there. Talking a lot of shit. It's good times. Good times. Good times. But yeah, we're going to see you on Thursday. We're definitely going to talk about the whole Google thing. That's going to be very interesting. So stay tuned, man. So yeah, thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the Throwdown Discord server. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and the Facebooks at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. And also, you know, be sure to say hi if you're going to be at the Metal Gear in concert on Saturday. Was it the March 23rd or something like 23rd? So, yeah, be sure to say hi. I'm going to be there. And I'm also going to have I don't have merch there, but I do have merch that I designed there for Donna Burke, the singer of the Metal Gear 5 and Metal Gear Peace Walker game. So I designed a shirt and a hat thing for her. So that's probably going to be there too. So yeah, if you're there, say what's up because I'm going to be there.
Yeah, man, he's going to introduce Hideo Kojima too, man. So get a
little bit of that. Yeah, right. So yeah,
this is my stalker. Grab him. Yeah.
He's the motherfucker that followed me.
I knew it. I knew he show up. Get him.
Oh, man. So yeah. I'll be there and a bunch of other folks who, you know, from the Metal Gear community.
Nice. All right. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Night of people.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real.
And Adam Vale. We'll see you on NBC, man. Later.
Later, guys.
Peace.